Let us stand for the reading of the Gospel on this Easter Sunday. The Gospel according to John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, more strong and sure than the very foundation of the earth that we walk upon. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Celebrate. If you are in our podcast audience this morning or listening to this service via CD, I'd like to wish you and yours on behalf of St. John's Church and Janet and Brittany and I a very happy and faith-filled Easter Sunday celebration today. Let's take a moment and have a time of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the glories of this day. We thank you, Lord, that you are capable and you are able of rescuing us and bringing us to yourself. We thank you that your grace is so amazing and that you know us so wonderfully, personally. And so we bring ourselves before you on this glorious day of celebration in which we agree and say that eternal life is ours. Bless now, Lord Jesus, this message. May every person that is here receive it, and may these words be hidden away and buried within their hearts, and used at a later time to strengthen them through whatever struggles they might face, for you indeed are our resurrection. We ask these things in your name, the precious name of Jesus. For his sake we ask, amen. I have for quite some time now been acutely aware of the power of this day and all the promise that it holds. It is a joyous day of spring which ignites our imaginations with new possibilities as we sense the vibe and the pulse of God's eternal imagination as he dances today with his creation, including we who possess the divine stamp of his image, the Imago Dei. And it is a day of connecting with family, our human families, yes, as plans for this day unravel and unfold for us. But yes, it's also a day for our spiritual family. And there's nothing more beautiful than our spiritual family. Amen? Amen. That's right. It is a day where we affirm life, not only in the flowers that blossom and bloom, in the trees that bud, in the grass that grows green, but also in the incredible stature of the man who, for the first time in history, kicked the living daylights out of death once and for all, threw wide open the doors of eternity, and stomped upon the head of the evil one. Hallelujah. My friends, I am excited to be here today because I am an important participant in this day that we call the Day of Resurrection. And I am excited that you are here today because you are an important participant in this day that we call Easter. For this is a day of not just knowing the story to be true, but sharing his story, which is our story, with passion and with purpose. As St. Paul says in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Note carefully what St. Paul is saying. The resurrection, my friends, is a powerful thing. Friends, we are here today because his resurrection is a powerful thing. Amen? Amen. Friends, this congregation is here today because His resurrection is a powerful thing. Amen. Amen. Friends, this building is here today because His resurrection is a powerful thing. Amen. This powerful thing is a transmitter of all the important stuff that's on God's mind that really matters. It is a conductor of eternity, trumping and trundling out the temporary. Never make the mistake that the resurrection is ephemeral or placid or weak or anemic. Now, as much as I love all the chocolate bunnies and the brightly colored eggs and the pretty pastel dresses, they are indeed but a very weak notion of this powerful thing exposed as the very finger of God itself rolls back the stone that we celebrate on this day. In today's world of smartphones and tablets and instant internet access, we all have things that beep and buzz at us, don't we? There are many things that we can know. If someone asks the question, how long is the Verrazzano Bridge, a nimble person with a 4G internet connection on their smartphone, well, they can ask that ubiquitous Siri, how long is the Verrazzano Bridge? And they will get almost an instantaneous answer. But if we had sitting here an 85-year-old retired construction worker that spent 2 years of his life building the Verrazzano Bridge in his 20s, with its 6 lanes on its upper deck and 6 lanes on its lower deck, we would get the right information from him, but we would also get that information with great passion. Yeah. That's what it means to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. It involves much more than just repeating facts concerning Christ or the Bible. Knowing Christ is an intimate relationship with Him that changes your entire life from the inside out, and it's undeniable. People see it within you. Yes, I'm a follower of the raised up one, the risen Christ. We celebrate this day, my friends, because there is no going back. This is the day of no going back. Amen? Amen. I can remember on the exact day of our 25th wedding anniversary for Janet and I, that was 4 years ago, she and I went scuba diving in Cancun, Mexico. Woohoo, right? Yeah, going down deep. And I can remember being hooked up with all the required diving apparatus, the wetsuit, you know, which was probably one size smaller than what I could fit into. So I'm like plying my legs into this thing and trying to pull up on the zipper and the mask and the fins and the oxygen tanks and descending down into the abyss along the diver's line. And the diver's line is that long rope that goes from the surface all the way deep down to the bottom. And I can remember signaling to our trainer, our scuba diver trainer, once we started our descent, I started to signal to him, I want to go up. Now, I got to tell you, the signal for this is, you know, so I'm kind of doing this frantically underwater. So back up the line we went to the surface. And once we crested the waves, I can remember pulling off my mask and kind of taking a gasp of air and saying to him, can we wait for a minute? And with his rather incredulous look on his face, he said, no. He said, we got to go now. There's only so much air in the tank for the dive. We got to go now. Yeah, it was one of those moments. Friends, we got to go now. We got to go now running to the garden. We got to go now to that empty tomb. There is no turning back. And by the way, here's a little sermonic side note. I do have the lovely underwater DVD of our scuba dive that Janet and I had. It's all set to music, so if anyone wants to see your pastor having a scuba dive in the Gulf of Mexico, I would be happy to share that with you for a nominal fee, okay? And that might give you some kind of idea of what I'd like to be doing in my retirement years, yeah? This is a day where the ultimate purpose of God finally gets done what we couldn't do for ourselves. We can't raise ourselves from the dead. Only He can do that. Through Him and Him alone, we shall live forever and ever and evermore. Now, if you're looking for something that's a little bit on the schmaltzy side and Unitarian-esque, where human opining reigns supreme, sorry, you have come to the wrong church this morning, or rather perhaps you are listening to the wrong pastor. You see, at Easter, my job is to ask every person that is assembled here, are you ready for eternity? I ought to be hearing some yeses right now, okay? Yes, Pastor, I am ready for eternity. Because that's what this day celebrates. Now, y'all know, chocolate candy will come and chocolate candy will go, but woe betides the one who does not run to the tomb in the early morning and find it shockingly vacant. It's empty. It's not just about Jesus being raised from the dead. Yes, that's excitement enough all by itself. I mean, He has made this day possible, but it's about ushering in a brand new epoch, not just in terms of world history. Yes, the historical Jesus, blah, 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 blah. We can all turn on the History Channel or read the April edition of National Geographic to get all that interesting factual archaeological stuff. But I say, my challenge is, so what? See, but I say that the resurrection is media proof. It is media proof. It stands on its own merits. It is timeless and eternal. Can I get an amen to encourage the preacher this morning? The world can't taint the resurrection or water it down, no matter how hard it tries. For the resurrection is a rip in the time-space continuum where death and decay and the downward slope of humanity were finally and categorically once and for all defeated and put down, all through one man. Yes, you see, the resurrection, it required no committee to get it done. I know that's good news for us this morning, isn't it? Yeah, it's a sigh of relief. The resurrection didn't take a committee. There was no file folder created to save all our thoughts and musings about it. Man, you gotta go down the rope lest your oxygen runs out. Go on down. The resurrection just grabs you, it confronts you, it takes a hold of you, and it makes this demand upon you, this one singular, heart-piercing demand. Do you believe it? Yes. Finally, let it do its work within you. The resurrection, you see, it cradles broken bodies. His body was broken for you and I. The resurrection injects fresh hope upon frustrated, fraught, and worried brows. The resurrection does not deal in what ifs with a question mark behind it, but it deals in it is. Doesn't Mary proclaim in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6, He is not here. He's not here. He has risen. Just as He said, come and see the place where He lay. My friends, that is the biggest it is proclaimed in world history. The resurrection infects and infuses our lives with spectacular splendor when the penny drops as we realize that what He has done is for me and for you. Now, I think that you will all know what an IV infusion does for you in the hospital. An IV infusion, it keeps you alive. But friends, Easter morning is our IV push. IV push is a means of delivering additional medication through an intravenous line administered all at once over a period of a minute or two. You're going to get a lot of medication all at once. That's what's happening. We ain't on no IV drip around here this morning, amen? No, we're on IV push. That's what it is. The resurrection is a coming at you. And what has He done for you, O Christian? Has He this day not flung wide open the very entrance of heaven? Has He not promised His daily presence and abundant provision? Has He not said that He will be present in every burdensome and tedious moment of everyday life? Has He not reappeared as our rescuer, our lover, and our friend? Does He not proclaim victory to us that we too might be victorious? Will He not unleash the power of heaven within our lives whereby through His conquering love, He
will make you and I to be the persons that we thought that we could always be with His love in our hearts. And what has He done for you, O seeker? Has He not given you the evidence that every prophecy ever uttered and every world event unraveled points unequivocally like a sharp light upon His empty grave? There it is. Go to His grave. Where else will you find the knowledge and the hope for unlocking the Rubik's Cube of this life if it is not in the empty tomb of Jesus of Nazareth? In fact, I will contend that He cannot even be called the Christ, the Messiah, if, lo, His tomb remains undisturbed. But, O seeker, watch this now. Watch this, O seeker. To the side of the morgue table were His funeral wrappings flung. Where is the scoffer of this age who would deny me my Jesus? Where? Where are you that I might find you and love you like He loves me? Has not, O seeker, His Holy Spirit spoken to your conscience about how far you are from His love and how He wishes to draw you to Himself again that you might discover with those very first disciples the miracle of His crazy, unfathomable love? What will you do, O seeker, without His love? Where will you turn when you are alone and tired and afraid? Who will save you when you have become carnal and base and subhuman, a mere shadow of yourself that you once used to be? Who will step into the fray? Who will stand in the gap? Who will be your bridge, your bandage, your brother? Who will hold you when you don't understand, when the damning forces of life are arrayed against you, plundering your very soul and robbing you of every hope? Who? Who? It is He. That's who. You might think He's just a clever person in history, far remote and removed from this very moment here on April 20th, 2014, but you'd be wrong. For His powers extend and stretch beyond every human limit, past every burdensome emotional border. His ability is preeminently this, that He fundamentally knows the complete life and the full story of every human being that ever was, is now, in this moment, and ever shall be in the future. And that includes you and I. And because He knows this, He is on an unrelenting hunt to find you, to embrace you, and to never let you go. You cannot go where the bright light of His empty tomb will not find or discover you, my friend. For He has journeyed into the pit. He has taken the plunge without regard for His own self or well-being. He has surfed in the mosh pit upon the millions of hell. He did go down into His own death, never came He up for air, for you were worth every strenuous fiber of His snapped sinews stretched gallantly upon the tree for thee. You were worth every flesh-tearing lash applied by those laughing Roman soldiers upon His back, all to bring you and I back home again, back to His Father. Back to your home that you have longed for far beyond this fleshly facade. Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist of the 19th century, assigned some ministerial students to conduct evangelistic tent meetings in the city of Chicago. And the students were to preach nightly sermons as a means of winning souls for Christ and to practice their preaching. And Dr. Moody personally showed up one night unannounced at one of the meeting places to hear one of the fledgling young ministers preach the gospel. And the young man did quite well, expounding on the death of Christ on the cross for all the sins of the world. At the close of the service, he announced that everyone, this young preacher said, everyone should come back the next night, because the next night he was going to be preaching about the resurrection. And then after the tent meeting, Moody came up to this young preacher and he said, young man, many of these people will not be back tomorrow night. So you have only given them half of the gospel. Half of the gospel, because you cannot have the death without the resurrection of Christ. Can it be, you wonder, Can it all be true? Can this be real? That I, a mere meaningless speck afloat upon the seas and swirling gases of the universe, that I, a worm of a man or a woman, could merit the courage and bravery of eternity's man, all just for me? The answer is yes. That is why we celebrate today. Isn't this the reason that you and I are here? Because today you and I say, I will be with you in glory, my master, in glory. I will follow in your precious nail-riven footsteps. Oh, your agony, as every tendon was split. I will be like you, your horror, Lord Jesus, for my beauty. I will not back down, no matter who my smiters might be. I will take the lashes. I will endure the misunderstanding. And I will not let the forces of wickedness destroy my life, because your love will cause me to withstand every blow. Your love will not flirt, but will consummate within me a journey to heights unknown. I will act as your ambassador of life, to pray for the abused, the tortured, the neglected, the worried, the downtrodden, and the scum of the earth, who are just like me. Because once I was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. You know, this celebration today, it did not have to be. It could have stopped in the wilderness with a stone turning into bread to feed his frail and hungry frame. It could have ended in the garden with the Father's cup being raised to his lips to drink. It could have halted with a spoken defense before Pilate, with 10,000 legions of angels instantly descending to earth, brandishing flaming swords to destroy in a swoop Rome and every hate monger who shouted aloud, "Crucify him!" Such would have been the defense of his angels, who, more than willing and able at his word, were ready to mobilize and strike. But this celebration must needs be, because he purposed from the beginning of all creation, before he flung the planets into their courses, to embed within your heart and within mine the experience of eternity. Are you with me, my friends, this morning? Amen? Amen. And you see, there was a boy who once knew not God. He wandered quite a bit, actually. And he was very unsure about himself and life. And he dabbled in every delectable enticement that youth could offer. And trust me, there are a lot of delectable things that youth can dabble in, bringing him one day even face to face with the very prospect of death itself. And so this boy began to cry out from deep inside of him, saying, Can anyone turn me back? Can anyone save me? Does anybody even care? Does anyone out there even hear me? Until one day a man, a simple carpenter, heard how the boy despaired of life and how he hated the callous, superficial shell that he had become. And so Jesus took note of the boy's self-loathing, of his desire to be free, and of his desire to begin life again, to find the key for the cage he found himself locked within. And so, ever so gently and reassuringly, Jesus sent his Spirit to woo the boy, to love the boy, and to give the boy hope once more. And that boy was me. That boy was me. Confused and struggling teen, leaning hard upon my bedside 37 years ago, with tears streaming down my cheeks and staining the pages of this Bible that I had opened before me, to John's Gospel, just what we read here this morning. And in my heart I said the prayer, "Come in, Lord Jesus. Come in, I pray." And so today's celebration is not only about what God has done in history 2,000 years ago, but also about what God will do in the here and now, in this alive, present moment. He is ready to come on in. Are you ready to receive Him? Are you ready to receive his resurrection love for each and every one of us? That's the offer that he invites us into. He found me in my quiet little corner in New York with a bleeding heart at 15 years of age, and he refused me not. And I'm nothing special. If he refused me not, he welcomes us all. He refuses none of us. And that's why we celebrate today, because refuse us, he does not. Cast us aside, he does not. Turn away without pity, he does not. While every false god and prophet will play you and betray you, he does not. What he offers to one, Mary, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Nicodemus, the woman taken in adultery, the madman running wild amongst the tombs, the Samaritan woman, Simon of Cyrene, the thief hanging upon the cross, he offers to all an empty tomb. That's his offer. Won't you say with me today, come on in, Lord Jesus. Say that with me. Come on in, Lord Jesus. Say it with conviction in your heart. Come on in, Lord Jesus. And so today, Lord God, we accept your offer of life and of resurrection. And we celebrate today because of it. Amen.